If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One, and Happy New Year, and Happy New You. I am Commander Lady Athena, joined with my twin flame, Lord Ashtar, and we have a message for you tonight on new beginnings. It's interesting that we have an entirely new energy present with us. I think some of you might have even felt there was a certain sparkle, a certain energetic surcharge of joy that came with this change of cycle. I don't understand why that can be so, since we're really not operating in time, in highest truth, but that's certainly what I experienced. And so I'm going to go with it. When I was talking with Ashtar, he pointed out to me that we are beginning to receive directly energies from the great and greater central sun core systems. This has enabled us to bypass the somewhat baleful influence of our physical sun, which has acted as a sort of buffer, a dampening, if you will, to multidimensional perception and cognition of self at a higher and more expansive level. It has kept us, in a sense, completely unconscious of the 90% of our real lives. You cannot say that anything in this lower world is eternally real in the sense that it's constantly in a state of flux and change. That's highly conditioned by what we expect to see. The expectation that we put forth each day materializes as the life that we seemingly are living in this lower 10% that we call our physical human embodiments. And here we have this whole 90% of a multidimensional, fully God-potentized reality and life that we're living and largely unconscious of in a majority of cases. Part of that, as I've just said, has been due to the fact that we've been in a fallen system, under a fallen hierarchy, under a fallen program that was, as many of you know, intercepted by beings who had agenda, who wanted to entrap and enslave humanity. That having been reversed, as I've spoken about in other shows, we are now, we have been upgraded in our ability, in our receptors, in the circuitry that has been our neural pathways in the brain, in the consciousness, to a crystalline receptivity now that enables us to receive these higher transmissions, which will produce an entirely different experience and perception of the world. This is due to a change in the brain, a change in the level of energy we are able to integrate and register, and our ability to act out of that registering rather than in terms of the old programs. So many of you have been complaining about short-term memory, forgetting even something that happened just maybe a few hours ago, maybe something you just got through saying. Somebody will say, could you repeat that? And your mind is totally blank. Why is that? It's because the old brain wave patterns have been used to referencing in the past and in terms of historical reference points. When you live in the eternal now, which you're now moving into the understanding of, that's not the case anymore. It's always here. It's always now. It's always present. It's always that next breath, and you can't go back into the old data banks unless you do as I do and you time travel along the timeline, which you certainly can, then you can pick it up. I have to time travel every time someone asks me a past a reference point. I cannot actually relate from timeline consciousness as I was able to before. I think this is probably true for a lot of us now. So these new solar energies are coming into us now, and it's exciting because it's revealing revelations about the very nature of our cosmos, the nature of the Creator, the nature of ourself and our place in the cosmos. And also, it's revealing the secrets of nature, which will enable us now, finally, to move into truly the golden age that many of us have hoped for, prayed for, dreamed of, channeled about, fantasized about, and everything else for many decades. But now, we actually have the call to be active co-participants in bringing forward, evoking, if you will, and anchoring these new ideas and revelations into tangible manifestation on the physical plane. This is going to be so evident as we see almost overnight the outcropping of wonderful new ways to live that haven't even heretofore occurred to us as possibilities. In fact, I would like to ask each one of you, each time that you bump up against a limitation or a hesitation to go beyond where you've been or try something that really pushes the envelope of your comfort and your familiar patterns, if you would stop at that moment and ask yourself, well, what if I could? How would that look? What if that were possible? Begin to move to the what if. And then begin to court the idea. Begin to beef it out with some thoughts, some contemplation, some strategizing. How could you implement that? What would that look like as a next step? What would that feel like? What would that, what would you think about yourself if you saw yourself being and doing and manifesting in that level of conscious awareness? That is something that we are now being encouraged to really explore. I wonder, actually, how many of you realize that you actually are the vanguard of new possibilities for humanity. You light workers are the planetary vision carriers, the prophets, that are telling forth the good news of a new world totally composed of divine intent. Your mind, actually, is the only inhibiting, blocking factor to your full grasping of who you truly are, beyond the mind, beyond the body, beyond the feelings, beyond the emotions. You shine as a divine, immortal being, beyond all of that. You cannot say that you are any of those things I've just enumerated, except the divine one. Just like Jesus, you are Son of Man and Son of God at the same time. And so, we are now receiving these new energies, which actually have to do with the great, great, great central sun system. You have the outer physical sun, which is represented by fire, by friction, heat, and warmth. You have the inner core, which is representative of the Christic, or the heart of the Christ, or the solar principle, which relates to you as the soul. And then you have the photonic principle of the great, great, great central sun systems, which is actually the electrical surcharging of universal life that comes from what we would call the Father principle, or the direct creator God principle within us, which we call the monad or the spirit self. So for the first time, we are receiving direct, without any buffering, monadic, photonic, spirit-driven energy. It's coming in directly into the top of your Avanchitaya, your eighth chakra, and it's coming right down through that new circuitry that we've called the Ecor codes and the Deca-Delta system and other things that I've spoken about in some of my earlier shows. Suffice it to say that the circuitry has, the divine circuitry has been laid in while you were asleep. While you were going about your daily 3D lives, all of this was happening through the efforts of many, many members of the 70 brother and sisterhoods of light that are part of this divine program. It's been perfectly orchestrated, and regardless of what you thought you were doing, bumbling about in time and space and matter and causation, you actually were being remolded and refashioned. You actually, beloved ones, constitute a portion and a part of what has been called the externalization of the hierarchy, the return or the second coming of Christ, the collective Messiah, that's what you would be known as. Those souls who have washed their garments pure and white and clean through the suffering and the crucible of life itself, being crucified on the cross of time and space or life and manifestation, you have crossed out the ego and resurrected as a son of God, as a living Christed one. Those of you who can own that, do so. But in the greatest of humility, we never get so vainglorious that we go about saying, you know, I'm the Christ, I'm this, I'm that, whatever. Usually, when you are in that state, you'll go about with a great humility, and you'll say, I am the servant of all life. So, lest we get too blown up with that as a understanding, let's also temper it with understanding what it means to be a person who's anointed or Christed. And that is a person who has a sacred and pure heart that lives to love and serve others. The anointing of the higher empowerment only is for service to others. It's never for yourself. We don't get anointed to serve ourselves. We get anointed to be a servant to all life, multidimensionally and ongoing throughout cosmos. I don't know if that ever shifts. It certainly isn't something we need to be concerned with tonight. But in this time of new beginnings, it's time to begin to make some different decisions about what you want to empower in your life. It's time to exercise our creative potential. What if you began every day to daydream? This is an active daydream, not a passive, wishy, you know, washy thing. This is a proactive daydreaming. Dreaming, imaging in, that is to say, imagining, postulating, envisioning, acting as if, feeling as if, believing as if. What if you began to really put some energy, some serious energy into the world as you would like to see it, a world that works for everyone, a world of peace, harmony, love, cooperative endeavor, a world in which we exchange handshakes and warm embraces and share the things that would make life beautiful and bearable and equitable for all humanity. What if we put our energy into that? I was wondering today what it would have been like if, instead of returning attack for attack, we would have made a choice to not do anything but to extend forgiveness and love. I just wonder, I'm sure perhaps you have too, what would it have been like if we just hadn't gone back into the law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and attack for attack and vengeance for vengeance. And instead we had acted as a Christed one, as an anointed one, and simply extended forgiveness and love. I just wonder. I wonder if maybe we wouldn't have set a more powerful leadership example in the world if we as Americans had done that. I also wonder why Sai Baba has repeatedly directed us to have as little to do with money as possible and to not get embroiled in the political agendas. He said, for example, that wherever people have a desire to amass a great deal of money, because that is of the the quality of agitation or rajoguna, that quality that money is composed of causes conflict and agitation, discord and disunion. And wherever we get embroiled in separating ourselves from others, however that looks, where we're fighting, you know, my way is better than your way, and do it my way, and I have the answer, and follow me, and all of those things which are born of the human ego and the human lower mind, which is actually the same thing, we get into trouble. How would it be if we each chose to be self-governing, to allow that higher principle that we are as a divine incarnation to so govern and order our steps that we lived those five human values of truth and right action and peace and love and nonviolence? That sum total of those five qualities is what we could call a divine life, or God, if you will. And since God lives in us, as us, and expresses through us, what if we lived those five values and began to implement them in our personal lives on a day-to-day, habitual basis? What if we just replace some of the old ways of looking at life and speaking and doing things? What if we just did that? I believe that we would see a great transformation in our world, beginning with our own life, and then, of course, extending from that into the world around us. Every single person, excuse me, that awakens can be said to be the anointed one. I know that there are many of you who have a whole concept of religiosity around what it is, what Christ is, or what Jesus is, or what it is to be anointed, or in ministry, or serving humanity. And I would like you to just remove that old husk from the beautiful truth that shines through you and is you. Just take that old Piscean husk and chuck it. And begin to realize that you breathe in and breathe out, and that breath in you is divine spirit. That you are a chalice of that living word. And as you begin to identify yourself with your eternal truth rather than your temporary appearance in time and space, as you begin to make that the subject of your sharing and your talk and what you say to people. For example, golly, in my particular field, I'm constantly hearing people's bad news and their problems. And I've gotten to the point where I often will stop a person in mid-rant and say, wait a minute. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what's right with your life, what divine experiences and miracles that you're having all the time. I want to hear of how your needs have been met. I want to hear how every day, in every way, you're becoming more and more healthy and strong and happy and centered. That's what I want to hear about. Because if you tell me your problems, you're actually asking me to come into agreement with something that then we will succeed in holding in place in your life. Many of you don't go to doctors. Not that I'm saying that's a bad thing. But, you know, certain people in certain professions are there to find something wrong with you. You know, that's their business, to find something they can burn out or poison out or cut out or in some way remove from your beingness. What I'm suggesting is that as we begin to abstract our attention and the focus of our power, which is very, very considerable with the new energies, everything we say, everything we think of, everything we put energy towards, we begin to create a monster out of it very, very quickly if it's negative. And likewise, if it's positive, we begin to see an almost immediate difference in what we are attracting, experiencing, and manifesting. So in this process, we're going to be learning how to be proactive creators in participating in bringing through this golden age that we have all dreamed of. Many people are waiting for extraterrestrials to land on Earth and take over the government and bring forward lots of changes from outside of themselves. Many are waiting and have waited for 20, 30 years now for certain funding programs to come to provide the money where the world could be changed. I'm suggesting that these are very, very outdated and outmoded approaches that do not leave any responsibility on the average lightworker's conscious participation at all. It's sort of like Cinderella waiting for the Prince Charming to come on the white horse and whisk her off to the castle. What I'm saying is that we are here, we are incarnations, many of us back in time from the future, that are specifically here to be the visionary cheerleaders and vanguard of outrageous possibility on Earth today. It's up to us. If we don't provide the vision for humanity, it doesn't know where to look. Religions are confusing them. Ideologies are captivating and leading them astray. People are caught up in all of these ego-driven agendas, and they're becoming more and more chaotic. Even the elements of nature become chaotic without our example of leadership and our governing presence on the earth. Everything in the world is looking to the living light that we are. When Jesus ascended and returned to his administrative position in Shambhala, he said, "While I was in the world, I was the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world." We are called the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are salt to preserve the light and those things of light, and we are light. So now we are called to take that light out of our puja rooms, our meditation rooms, our churches, our chapels, or whatever, and take it to the street. We need to find ways to express our vision so that it begins to captivate our conversation with people. Aren't you tired of having these lame conversations where you talk about the weather, or who did you wrong, and what she did and he did and they did, and oh, isn't it terrible what's happening in the world, and blah, 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 and all the talking heads? Get out of it. Get a life. Get a cosmic life. Get a self-realized, God-realized, God-empowered, God-driven life. And instead, begin to share your vision with the world. Write about it, those of you who write. Those of you who can paint it, paint it. Those of you who can compose music, compose music with captivating lyrics. Sing about it. Speak your vision instead of drivel when you talk to people on the phone or in your day-to-day exchanges. Share it far and wide. Anybody can talk about what's happening in Iraq and the government and what have you, but only you, you anointed ones, you closet Christ that are coming out and emerging into the world as a powerful force, only you can tell them about what's happening really. What's really going on in the world? You have the vision. You have the enlightenment. You have the knowing. You have the power. And you have the force of the cosmos behind your back. Do it. Begin to realize that if you do not direct your mind consciously, it will flow into consensus reality. It will flow into the drivel that you see every day and hear every day from every possible quadrant. You must direct your mind according to truth. Your mind must be renewed constantly by dwelling on truth, living truthfully. What is truth? Truth is satyam, that which is never changing. It is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. It is not something given to fad and fancy and whim and whimsy. It is eternally so. That is what I'm talking about. What can we put that appellation on? Only the divine. Only God. Only who we truly, truly are behind. behind the mask of our temporary persona in this manifestation that we call our human embodiment. In highest truth, beloved, you're not even here. You're a holographic projection of a thought that never departed source. You remain seated in heavenly places, in Christ, hidden in God. If that isn't awesome, I don't know what is. Or hidden in God, in Christ, which is another way of saying the same thing, that you live, you move, you have your being, you have your existence within the all that is eternally. That's true. Now, as a very creative spirit, you can send forth any number of holographic imagings of yourself into time and space. In fact, we'll be doing that more and more as we move more consciously into manifesting our multidimensional abilities and awareness. But for now, many of us are challenged just trying to get this enchilada that we're wearing to behave in time and space. But I'm here to sort of be a burr under the saddle blanket because I know, because I do myself come back in time from the future, and I've sort of seen the end result that we have available for us if we just choose to live it. A lot of people will sit down and they'll do their spiritual exercises. They'll meditate for 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever. And then they forget all about it and they go to do their work. I'm suggesting that your whole life is a spiritual assignment. Your whole life is your message. Your whole life is your mission. Your whole life is the expansion of your awareness. Your whole life is what you live and think and believe about yourself, projected into the world at every single second. Why do you leave your peace in the meditation seat? Why do you leave your praise in the church? Why do you leave your worship at the altar? Sai Baba has a good one. He says, work is worship. And that is what we do. We worship God through serving life in the most enhancing and empowering and beautiful and proactive ways that we can. How can you make your life more beautiful for yourself and for others? I have a really good suggestion for a great New Year resolution. I suggest that we all serve notice to this world, this ego run amok, that heretofore we are resigning from all promoting and supporting of conflict. That's it. In cycle. What would it be like? Well, I'm really going to issue a challenge. Sai Baba said four little statements, which were enough to keep my mouth shut for a long time, and my mouth's still shut because I'll share it, although I certainly can't say that I'm able to manifest this 100% all the time, but I'm working on it. Sai Baba says, to hear all and say nothing. To bear all and do nothing. To give all and take nothing. To serve all and be nothing. That's the one that kind of gets me. I sort of like to be someone, and I know you probably do too. But you know what? Whoever and whatever we think we are, imagine we are, fantasize we are, or promote in our flyers that we are, it's all a lie in highest truth, because in highest truth, we are nothing and absolutely no one less than God. That's actually going to be Prema Sai Baba's message when he comes in his next embodiment sometime around 2021-2022. The current Satya Sai Baba, the current avatar, will immediately embody as Prema Sai Baba in the Mandya district of Mysore State in South India. In fact, his parents have already been born, and everybody knows who they are. Everybody's in place for this next incarnation. And in that manifestation, his message to humanity will be, you are God. Again, like the cup of sea water is part of the sea, but isn't the whole sea, we are, of course, not the God, but we are indeed of exactly the nature and quality of God in many versions. Many virgins and many virgins. 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 Yeah, we become virginal as we return to our eternal self. So I'm on a roll tonight, aren't I? I get excited because I am a visionary, and I'm always seeing beautiful visions, and lately they have been really extraordinary. Some of the things you're going to be seeing on the physical plane are actually inventions being brought in by scientists and others from galactic and intergalactic sources that have actually incarnated on Earth or walked into existing past time cell embodiments, such as I have, or are overlaying or overlighting existing personalities from their oversoul or group soul. There's many ways we can get connected down here, but those particular individuals, of which I'm one, and maybe some of you are as well, in fact, I know you are, you wouldn't be listening, and we're going to be entering in leadership positions throughout the world. And in every field of human endeavor, in fact, many of those beings are already standing in the wings, ready to emerge out into the outer world with the answers to, for example, new forms of energy, new sources of energy, new ways of city planning and design, and new desires too. We're going to be wanting a world and desiring a world that works for everybody, not just for our own personal, private interests. We're going to want something for everyone. I think that is probably the most predominant characteristic of an awakened soul, is that it goes from becoming all about me to becoming all about we. All of a sudden, you can't bear to see a brother or sister in need and lack. You can't stand it that two-thirds of the world are living in absolute abject hell, while we have, in this country alone, of America, we're using 82% of the world's resources. I mean, how self-serving is that? And yet, Sai Baba's also said that America serves the function of being the Arjuna, that is the pure spiritual warrior that is part of the battle called the Kurukshetra in the Bhagavad Gita. And in that battle, Lord Krishna was the charioteer for the warrior Arjuna, and the Kauravas were the dark forces that were amassed 100 strong against the 5 Pandavas, the 5 brothers of Arjuna. So that tells you several things esoterically. It tells you that the negative power is always greater in predominance on in the lower worlds, but it's always the divine, even though they're smaller in number, that actually wax victorious. It also tells you that in terms of Dharma, America is the spiritual warrior that is the vehicle for Krishna or the Christ force to protect those people who are innocent and helpless in the face of the dark forces. So in a sense, we are our brother's keeper, but we are not our brother's enforcer of what we think they should do. We are their supporter in what we can help them facilitate as they come into their own sovereignty and empowerment as nations and as people. We are not to take our ideology and enforce it on everyone else. You might have noticed that the divine plan seems to include for all different colors, all different races, all different creeds, and a variety of different perspectives on many things. But that does not mean we can't have one accord. We can be in harmonic resonance with everyone, even if they don't call their form of God by the same name we call our form of God. We can at least recognize there's only one God. We can each realize there's only one religion, and that's the religion of love. We can all understand that humanity is one. We all bleed red, and we all breathe the same air. And we inhabit a rather small planet that's getting smaller by the moment. So we're going to have to drop all of these senses of our country's better and these people don't deserve to have a good life because whatever. We've got to really care about people in all parts of the world. In fact, I think the thing that probably is the most important for any of us to be involved with is alleviating suffering wherever we find it, wherever we can, however we can. We can all be proactive in some form of planetary uplift. If you can't go and serve food to people in Africa who are starving, you can at least send some money each month to help in those feeding programs with the people who are. If you can't open a whole shelter and take people in off the street and offer them accommodation, at least you can help out with friends and people who may need that, that you know in your immediate environment. There's always something you can do. You can always take a coat down and give it to a homeless person. You can always do something, anything. But remember, everything you do of that nature, you're not doing it to a human so much as you're doing it to the Lord himself. He said that whatsoever you do to the least one of these, you are doing for me and to me. So let's go about and minister to the Lord in all of his many, many distressing forms throughout the world. I'm a great advocate of the importance of joining with those people who are already doing those things out in the world so you don't keep reinventing the wheel. There's always somebody that's got an organization or something that's out there doing major work in the world, and begin to pony up with them. Begin to send them a little support in a monetary sense, or a lot of support if you're in that position to do so. But everybody can send $5, $10, $20. There's not a person on the planet that can't do that. My gosh, you spend more than that on Starbucks each month, many of you, or cigarettes or other worthless things. So let's begin to really rethink what we are putting energy and money and support to as we go into this new cycle of new beginnings. Let's have such a new beginning that we begin to rethink everything we have been about up until now. I'm suggesting that we can enter into an entirely new cycle. I mean, really new. But we need to do that. Ashtar was saying that this doorway into this new paradigm is accessed through your heart. It's accessed through an actual heart connection that you have with beauty and with this vision. It begins to entrain the heart. And when I say heart, I mean your spiritual essence becomes linked to, becomes in yoga union with this higher world. And it pulls you right through a doorway, which even though it's invisible, it is a distinct energetic transfer. In fact, I have to speak out of my own experience here because it's happened to me over the last, particularly this last year since I've come back from Sai Baba when I was with him for 5.5 months in 2006, I really came back different. I guess I was pulled through that door in a way that I really can't return to my old way of thinking or being in any way, shape, or form. It has all gone really stale and flat for me when I try to go back into those old energies. I think that's a good reference point because you will notice when you try to reference yourself into bad, old momentums, it'll go as flat as ginger ale that's set out all night long. You'll just notice if there's a dull, clunk feeling to it. And whenever you do something that just really pushes you out of your old stuff, you'll feel that spark of vitality. Yeah, it's a little tingly and sometimes a little scary, but at the same time, you'll get this thrill. It's like, oh, yeah, just like you feel before you do a bungee jump or maybe jump out of an airplane with a parachute or hopefully one that works. I used to be a circus performer, so I'm very familiar with leaping out in faith and doing outrageous things with my physical body. But there was always a thrill for me. I used to, for example, slide by my teeth down a long 45-degree angle high wire. I was actually trained to do this by the great and late Carl Wallenda of the Flying Wallendas, the high wire family that were very, very close friends of mine as I was growing up in the circus. And I used to be so scared, you know, I was a young teenager, and I'd have to do this slide for life, as they called it, several times each show. And I would be scared. And I'd remember just before I would, you know, push off and I'd be sliding down this wire, hanging by my teeth, I would feel this little surcharge of a thrill go through my whole body. Maybe that's an adrenaline rush. I don't know. I'll tell you, as a circus performer, you got to have something because you're always courting that possibility of death, that possibility of falling and injuring yourself. And in the days I was in the circus, we didn't have the law about safety nets or mechanics. Mechanics are those belts with the pulley, you know, the guy wire pulley that can pull you up if you fall. Now, since the Wallendas, almost half of them have fallen to their death or been permanently injured, sadly to say, they have now issued a law that all performers that work above, I think it's 10 feet, or maybe it's a little lower than that, have to have a safety device or a net. And that's a good thing, although it's very dangerous to fall in the net also. But I'm pointing out the fact that we can have those experiences of daring do without being a circus performer or Evel Knievel or mind freak. But we need to do something to keep from being too comfortable. When you get comfortable, Baba says it best, better than I, a rest is rust. The body is designed for work. So don't rust. Keep working. Keep working on yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, until every part of your being is simply a purified, perfect instrument to serve. And keep working at it until you become an athlete, a spiritual gold medalist, if you will, in impeccability, in service, in purity, and in divine vision carrying. As you carry that vision out into the world, you will indeed be a leader and a way shower, and at least, if nothing else, an exhorter. And an exhorter is a ministry where you build up people, you encourage them, you cheer them on. What I'm doing right now as I do this show is a ministry of exhortation. I'm a cheerleader. I'm saying, come on, guys, you can do it. You can do it. Here's some ideas. Go for it. And some of you have that particular calling. It's just my part of my personality and my nature, but it's also my divine imprint. It's one of the things I do by my nature. Wayne Dyer is another wonderful man who has a similar calling. Oprah Winfrey is another one. She's also very much an advocate and a person that speaks out on behalf of the underdog and the weak and the people who have no one else who can stand in for them. Dr. Phil is another one. So here in America, we have quite a few people who have speech ministries, if you will, vocal and oral delivery systems that assist people to step free of whatever it is that is their personal nemesis or prison. All prisons and all pain are created out of our own mental constructs. Whether you call them karma or whatever, they are those things that go bump up against those things that we would like to implement and don't seem able to. I just want to remind you that somebody already paid the price that you could be set free, and that was the Christ, Jesus the Christ. He already handled that. You can step free of the law now through grace. Grace is the name of the game. Grace says that you're already saved. Grace says you're already purchased with a very dear price, which was the price that Jesus the Christ paid with his own blood, his own life to set you free. And then he conquered the whole deal by resurrecting his body from the dead. So because of that, you can live. You can live free, you can live healthy, you can live whole, you can live empowered. And what you can't do out of your own steam, you've got an elder brother that's already covered it for you, so you can cop out on grace. And I suggest you do that. Sai Baba's message is very much the same. And it is a time when we don't have to be lone rangers. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to do it all ourselves. In fact, we're designed so we can't, as an ego, do anything by ourselves really well or successfully or for very long. It's like trying to hold a handful of seawater. It's just going to like slip right through your fingers. So as we get a hold of who we are spiritually and we bring that down through all the levels of our being, and we begin to walk in the light of the truth as it becomes revealed to our minds, as we begin to order our lives by that truth of revelation and divine guidance that lives within you as you, as your clearest and purest directives, then you will find that you're walking in a path of grace. And you no longer notice, it doesn't even come up as a blip on your inner radar, those negative scenarios in the world. Your eyes are not there. You're just not seeing that stuff. And what you are seeing is the golden kingdom of soul, the golden age, the kingdom of heaven, so many metaphors for it, the fifth dimensional world, the new version of the earth, Terra Crista, what have you. You will be seeing and living and experiencing life in the higher dimensions. This is how you enter it. No, you don't have to wait for whoever to land and or whoever to beam you up or whoever to bonk you on the head, whatever. You don't have to wait for anything. The only one that decides when you enter is you, yourself. Sai Baba has often said that we seem to be enjoying this role-playing of being a limited human being. And it will continue as long as we enjoy the role-play and keep promoting it. But the day we decide that we will awaken, that day is the day that we are born again of spirit. And then the whole world becomes the kingdom of heaven. Pope John Paul, before he passed away, made a statement that heaven and hell were both in the consciousness, created out of the consciousness. And that's certainly true because we live in the world of our beliefs. And it is done unto us according to our belief. And if you want to know what you believe, just look at your life. It's a perfect representation of what you have thought about, talked about, put forth as the way it had to be or the way it should be or the way it just is. However, you have gone into putting energy into it. Your life is what you have energetically created. You can change that just as easily as you created it by thinking thoughts exactly the opposite of the ones that created the world that you're in. I've practiced this personally myself and completely revolutionized my finances, my relationships, my sense of mission, and my attitude by putting into practice the very things that I share on this show. I'm not talking out of somebody's book. I'm talking actually out of my own life and my own experience, with the exception of the times I quote Sai Baba or Jesus or the Bible or the Vedas or something else. Most of the time, I'm speaking out of my direct experience. So I know it works, because when someone is speaking out of the level of experience, you can have the energy of actually being able to touch in and use that for your own advancement. Someone who's just speaking out of rhetoric or out of something somebody else said or something of that nature doesn't have any kind of power to give you a lift up or a hand. So again, your mind is the cause of all joy and sorrow and bondage, or it's the source of great delight and liberation, and you decide by how you direct your mind. Many people just simply let their mind go at random without any kind of governance, without any kind of editing. I highly encourage you to just stop anytime you find yourself out of center when you're speaking or saying something that's an exaggeration or not totally true or not completely accurate. You have editing, re-scripting rights. You can stop and say, oh, wait a minute. Let's back up again and let me say this again because I didn't quite get it right here. Don't be so vainglorious and prideful that you don't admit when you're off. And make it okay to say, you know what? You're talking about this person, but it doesn't feel clear to me to do that. Could we change the subject? I really don't want to talk about so-and-so. That's considered gossip, and I choose not to gossip. Or if you're talking negative about someone, excuse me, but I don't choose to enter into slander. Or someone is complaining and doing their tyranny of weakness, you can simply not say anything at all. You know, people, when you don't talk back, kind of go off on another subject if you don't give them any support. So come into agreement with truth, not people's sad tales or their problems. In fact, Sai Baba says that if we have a problem, we should forget it. We shouldn't talk about it at all. We shouldn't put any focus on it at all. Just repeat the name of the Lord. And that energy of that divine name will consume all of the energy of the problem and transform it through grace. I have done that so many times, I've lost count. And you know what? It always works. So try that. And some of you are going to say, well, what name of God? I don't care. God doesn't care. Pick any one of the many, many wonderful names that describe the universal teacher and repeat it with love. Om Sai Ram, Om Jesus Christ, Hugh, Anai Hugh. You go for it. You decide. And then as you do that, just begin to cast those worries into the fire of grace. Cast them out. Don't carry them in your mind. If you have illness in your body, don't keep focusing on it. Say, thank you, Father, that I am whole and healthy. I feel more and more of your healing power flowing through me every moment. Everything in my body is resonating with your love and coming back into perfect balance. Begin to do that. Begin to thank God for the very things that before you were praying for, as if you already had them. That's one of the biggest keys to manifestation, is to act from the end result. Act as if. Begin to mock up the feeling. How would you feel? I remember a few years back, I received one of those things on the internet, and I was still so naive, I thought maybe it could be true that I had won $2 million. Well, it was wonderful because I actually believed in my heart that I had won $2 million. So I started acting like it. I went out and I looked at the kind of car I wanted. I went and checked an apartment that I was going to rent. I planned college funds for my kids and how I could help them in their situations. I planned what I would do for my own health and restoration of my body, which wasn't doing really great at that point. I got so excited. I thought, wow, all of a sudden, all the limitations of financial consideration was lifted off my head. And I also began to think, well, how am I going to invest it? And I've got to tithe 10% of it. So who am I going to tithe that 10% to? And how am I going to manage the money? I'm going to need a financial advisor and accountant to invest it properly, to have a proper portfolio. It changed my whole way of thinking overnight just because I began to act and believe and assume that I had $2 million. And even though it turned out to be a hoax, it didn't rob me of the experience of that, because it still to this moment lives in my heart as a feeling of unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. I could, you know, I don't have really any desires. I have to really look for, try to drum up anything I could think of that I would want personally. I'm a done deal. I'm whole. I'm complete. I'm happy. All is well in my life. But the thought of what I could really facilitate for others was so thrilling that I have maintained that joy and that vision in my heart. And so I know what it's like to act as if. And here I'm asking us to do it cold turkey, because maybe you haven't bought into some of these nefarious schemes on the internet like I did that time. But begin to really fantasize, what would it feel like if I had no considerations between me and what I really wanted to express and be and do in this world? Anyway, I put that forth as an encouraging word for the new year, as we move into this time of new beginnings, as we receive these wonderful, wonderful new energies. Remember that we are here to model, embody, and enact the ideal, and to be the changes that we would like to see in the outer world. We're going to be having an opportunity now to really be the vision carriers to shift our world from war and conflict to mutual accord and respect. The whole burden of that falls on the light workers, who are the instruments of the Lord to bring about these changes. We are each one called forward now to be proactive in doing everything we possibly can to be living the life of divine peace in this world. We must be the peacemakers and the peace mediators in this world. As we end cycle on conflict and we make peace more important than being right and being against, as we become people who live for peace rather than fight for peace, which is really an oxymoron, we've got to be proactive for what we want to see in the world, not anti. The anti creates more of the same. The pro begins to shift it into the new format. And we can look forward to seeing new energy inventions. We will actually, according to Ashtar, even be able to enhance and accelerate food production through some of the technology we have on our ships, and even create water. So new cities and new ways of living and new ways of fueling our need for energy, and even the replacing, ultimately, of the need for money. This will be down the road a little bit of the ways, but increasing prices are causing all of us to simplify our lives. And yet, when we're living in the divine abundance of God, we never feel any lack. So those are some things I wanted to share this evening. And let's see, I think I would like to share with you a bhajan. And this is one I've often sung in my workshops. Those of you who've done work with me probably remember it, or heard me speak at the Wesak festivals. You probably remember it. Yeah, and it goes like this. I am spirit. Nobody can contain me. I am a holy son of God. I am spirit. Nobody can contain me. I am a holy son of God. I am spirit. Nobody can contain me. I am a holy son of God. And here's another one. I am immortal. I am living light. I am as God created me. I am immortal. I am living light. I am as God created me. I am as God created me. beloved, as you go forth in this new year, let's go forth as a new you. Let's go forth as planetary vision carriers. Let us be the hope in this world. Let us tell forth the good news of the emerging of the golden age, which Sai Baba has said will be fully on planet and manifesting within the next couple years. So let's be the vanguard of that. Let's promote that. Let's live that. And let's be that hope that this world is so desperately in need of. Let's be purveyors of good news and goodwill and loving intention wherever we are. God evening and Adonai.